Happy Ascension Sunday. There's a greeting card that's yet to make it out of the Hallmark reject pile. I don't know about you, but when I hear these passages from Acts and Luke, I see something like the final scene of Grease, with Jesus and a hot rod being lifted into the air and riding off into the clouds. Ascension Sunday is more than a Harry Potter spell gone very interestingly wrong. It is considered by some Christian traditions to be an essential Christian liturgical day, yet it receives very little airtime or emphasis, at least generally among Protestants. The Feast of the Ascension was actually this past Thursday, but who's keeping score? It's always the 40th day after Easter falling on a Thursday. This is the continuation of living into the Jesus story in real time, like we did in Holy Week. On Maundy Thursday, we remembered the Last Supper. On Good Friday, we remembered Jesus' crucifixion and death. On Easter Sunday, we celebrated with the women at the empty tomb. And on Ascension, we give thanks for the 40 days of extra innings, of teachings and bodily presence with the disciples between Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Scholar Michael Joseph Brown writes that this time period between Easter and Ascension, when Jesus rose and when he ascended, should lead us to, quote, banish the idea that the apostles were self-sufficient, fully prepared beings. It is precisely this time of instruction and guidance that made the apostles' extraordinary courage and faith possible as they faced harassment and resistance, as seen in other parts of the book of Acts, through the New Testament epistles, and even beyond. Do you ever feel like you're missing something? I don't mean walking from one room to the next room and forgetting what you were doing, or where did I leave that remote? I mean on a deeper level. Missing a sense of connection to God, a sense of connection to yourself and to perhaps things bigger than yourself. I know as Baptists we're not so hot on creeds, though there is wisdom to be found in creeds. For example, Jesus' resurrection and ascension are inseparable in the creeds. There's this sense of connectedness and flow, yet they are distinct. The same is also true for social justice and spiritual formation. Can we have some real talk for a minute? I often feel like when I'm standing up here that I'm channeling my inner Gracie Lou Freebush when I preach. Gracie Lou Freebush is Sandra Bullock's character's undercover name in Miss Congeniality. She's competing in the Miss America pageant or scholarship program undercover, though she is actually an FBI agent. I am not an FBI agent. When she competes in the interview round of the pageant, all of the other candidates answer whatever the question is with world peace, followed by polite applause by the audience. When Gracie Lou answers the question that she is given with tougher restrictions for parole violator Stan, the audience responds with silent confusion until she says, and world peace. Then the audience applauds politely and the show goes on. When I preach, I have found you generally much more engaged and alert with metaphorical polite applause, as long as at some point in the sermon I include our growing list of isms and phobias we collectively oppose. When I have gone a different direction, for example, emphasizing spiritual formation, I generally have gotten a bit more of a deer in the headlights response, or a defensive, justice is my spiritual formation, or I'm glad we have that for the kids, or some interest, that's a great idea, the little ongoing engagement. It was precisely the apostles' spiritual formation and discipleship that made their courageous, bold, inspiring, and inspired witness possible. To be engaged in the essential and necessary work of social justice in the name of the gospel, in the name of Jesus, we must be explicitly and personally and collectively engaged with that gospel and that Jesus. I'm concerned that we have become more comfortable with the witness of the Holy Spirit rather than the Holy Spirit itself. Church is not a nonprofit in the sense that we are socially engaged and do social good to make the world a better place. Christian social justice is social engagement and doing social good to make the world a better place, explicitly from a place of gospel-centered motivation rooted in spiritual formation. Spiritual formation is not a conservative thing. It's not a children's thing. It's not a baby boomers and older generational thing. If you find yourself spiritually longing or hungry, ask yourself, what have you been eating, if at all? Scholar Randall Mixon writes, Jesus not only comes from God, he returns to God. Likewise, the challenge for us as we come from God and return to God is to keep our lives centered on God, rooted and grounded in God, allowing God to be the one in whom we live and move and have our being. If you're feeling burnt out and unmotivated to engage in social issues, that may largely be in part because you are lacking adequate spiritual formation and connection. This may or may not be the reason for you. Only you can dig deep and determine that. But one of my jobs as a pastor is to hold up a mirror, then only you can decide if the mirror is accurate for yourself or not. As you hopefully know by now, pastors have this interesting habit of preaching what they themselves need to hear too. There's an equal and opposite problem. To pitch a tent in the area of spiritual formation without corresponding action, perhaps we've overcorrected that. As the apostles experienced this transcendent, sublime ascension moment, in the Gospel of Luke's account of the ascension, verse 52 says, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. We see through the book of Acts that the witnesses of Jesus' ascension were formed by Jesus. They had spiritual engagement, and they came together to do more than they could alone. That sounds a lot like church to me. Throughout Acts, the apostles spread the gospel like mono in a high school. Spiritual formation or social justice? The answer is E, all of the above. As members of the religious left, we rightfully emphasize chipping away at oppressive glass ceilings, stained glass ceilings, and rainbow glass ceilings. Though sometimes we miss the beauty of looking upward through the cracks in the ceiling to see more visibly the light coming through, to see that sacred beyond. As we chip away at glass ceilings, the membrane between heaven and earth gets a little fuzzy. Divine connection is found in both loving our neighbors through action and also deepening our knowledge and experience of God. As we seek earnestly to follow the way of Jesus, the one who rises and shines, may we do likewise, engaging both the X and the Y axis as we push forward for a more just world and as we dig deep for spiritual grounding. The disciples were on the edge of something new, of all things being made new, with Jesus leading the way. Scholar John McClure writes, "We are not left in an in-between world without spiritual power and purpose." May we look to the heavens in order to know what to do on earth. May the Holy Spirit empower and inspire us upward and onward. Amen.